is you, Jesus. Are you ready for the Word tonight? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Let's get started. Thank you, Jesus. I don't even know where I'm going to end up tonight. I'm not sure where I'm even going. I've got some things that are perking in me I want to say. And we'll see if I have an utterance in it or not. 1 Thessalonians, have you got it? And chapter, let me make sure I'm in the right spot here. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, have you got it? Verse 1 says, but of the times and the seasons. The word times there in the Greek is the word chronos. It means the keeping of time. Amen. What time it is in the natural. And the seasons, that word seasons is the word kairos. That means a specific time for a specific purpose. Amen. A time that something is selected to take place. He says, of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now here he says there's coming a time that the wicked are going to reap the harvest or the reward of their wickedness. Amen. And it's going to come on them as a thief in the night, and he says they'll be saying peace and safety. Amen. Let's read on through here, then I'll come back to this. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day, and are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now listen, that doesn't mean that you can never go to sleep. You know, you've got to live on no doze the rest of your life and drink a lot of coffee. It's talking about don't be asleep spiritually. It's talking about watch in the realm of kingdom understanding. Watch through a connection with the Holy Spirit. See, when you really develop in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, when you really get where you walk in an anointing and you learn to flow with God, the Spirit of God will open up your eyes to what's happening around you. You will see and comprehend things that other people don't see and comprehend. Amen? And he said, let us watch and be sober. Let us be serious. Let's be concerned. Let's be involved regarding what we see. Now again, he goes back and he says, they shall say peace and safety. Now the question arises tonight, who are the theys? Who are the theys? Are the theys the non-Christians? Are the theys one political party versus another political party? Are the theys revivalists versus non-revivalists? Are the theys the ones that are Spirit-filled versus not Spirit-filled? Who are the theys? Well, I have an answer for that. The theys are the ones that aren't seeing. The theys are the ones that are seeing only with natural eyes and are following a natural flow of events and function in a natural comprehension of world activities. The theys are the ones that can't see in the realm of the Spirit what's really taking place behind the scenes in this battle between angels and demons and the Holy Spirit and Satan and, you know, and God's people that are flowing with Him versus the people that may be with God or maybe not that don't even know the flow of God. The theys are the ones that cannot see what's going on. Are you following me on this? And my hope is tonight that you are following what's taking place. I'm going to say some things tonight, and I've prayed about whether I should even say these things because my desire is never to offend anybody. Are you following me? I don't want anybody to get upset at Pastor Jack because he has certain views. But in the season we're in, there are certain things I have to say. I'm responsible for watching over the sheep and bringing forth understanding. And if you don't agree with me, I hope you just forgive me and we go on and talk about the glory. Are you following me? But I was watching the news tonight, And I virtually felt like I was watching apocalyptic events take place. I don't know how much you follow what's going on in the world system, what's going on in the United States, but we are right now in a time the United States needs to really be involved in shoring up its standards and watching its borders and being prepared for, you know, collapse worldwide. Instead, we're hollering peace and safety and going all in for it. We've had, you know, stuff take place over the past few years regarding Fast and Furious, where we gave away guns to, you know, Mexican gang lords, you know, all with an effort. The whole purpose of it was to shut down guns in America, to get anti-gun laws passed. We've had the IRS targeting conservatives, approving one political party's moves in a matter of hours and holding back conservative efforts for years to restrain votes. We had the Benghazi debacle, where four Americans were killed, and all that came out of it was a series of lies after lies after lies that are now being exposed. My prayer has been for some time that the lies of the wicked are exposed openly for people to choose. And we're watching that happen right now. But here's what's happening today. Here's what's been happening in the last week to 2 weeks. We have thrown the borders to America wide open. I don't know if you've seen what's going on or not. Lines are forming at the borders, and people are being allowed just to come over in mass, just flowing over. No documentation, no nothing. Just come on over. And do you wonder why that's taking place? Can you see in the Spirit why that's taking place? Why would it be that I have to, you know, pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars, try to get a visa for one pastor in Ghana to come visit that's turned down because he's not visiting enough, because he might stay, yet we throw open the borders to Mexico to flood over here with thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. Millions. Why is that? Why is it we're opening the doors that we've got gangs and criminals and everybody just flooding over the borders without a check? And yet, Patty got stopped the other day trying to get her driver's license renewed, or Lori was, because Patty had a set of cuticle scissors in her purse. They had to hold her makeup bag while Lori went to get her driver's license renewed because there was cuticle scissors in the bag. Because we're going to run and hold the judge hostage with a pair of cuticle scissors. It's crazy. Ridiculous. Why is it a pastor from Ghana can't visit, but we open the borders? It all has to do with votes. Right now, because of blunder after blunder, and let me throw this one out as well. We traded five of the top Al-Qaeda terrorist leaders for one deserter who cost the lives of at least six Americans hunting him down, and he was a deserter. And we traded five terrorist leaders for this. Who in their right mind does this? Nobody. But it was done intentionally, going around Congress to do it. Numbers are sliding so fast that it's understood if something radical is not done, that one party is going to lose the Senate. They've already lost the House. They're going to lose the Senate, you know, in November. And conservatives will control the House and the Senate. So what do you have to do? Because you don't have a message you can turn things around. You bring in 1 million or 2 million extra voters who are automatically going to vote for you. And the word is the president's now going to give by executive order all these people citizenship. And many are saying there's nothing that we can do to stop it. So what happens? They all flood in and we give them all the right to vote. And in November, you try to swing elections. That's the whole reason it's being done. I was watching the news. I didn't wonder where this was going on. I hadn't watched the news much the last few days. I don't know if you know it, but Al-Qaeda, the terrorists, are about to take back Iraq. The 4,000 plus American lives that were lost winning that nation, you know, to rid it of terrorism, because we just had to get out of the war and we had to show a sign, you know, that we were peaceful people. We pulled out, left the unprepared people to Al-Qaeda to come back in, and they've taken over most of the nation, and now they're poised to take over Baghdad. And I'm telling you what, there will be destruction take place. And if you're watching, they're flowing through Syria, they're flowing through every nation in the Middle East. The terrorists are taking over. Positioning us for Armageddon or the Great Tribulation to come. Everything's being put into place, if you can see. Now, why would terrorists in the last week feel the inclination to make this surge across lands that were already purchased by American blood at one time? Why would they do this? I'll tell you why. Because, oh Jesus, we gave them an indication that we are on terrorist side when we released 5 of their top leaders for one deserter. And the message that's being displayed is America is not going to come to the defense of Iraq anymore. America is not going to rise up against terrorists in the Middle East anymore. America is going to close their eyes to whatever takes place. And the purpose is to close Guantanamo Bay prison more than it is to stop terrorism. Nobody's mad at me yet, are you? Are we okay so far? I am watching end time events unfold before my eyes. It was like I'm watching the TV and they're showing the map of all these forces, terrorist forces moving across the Middle East in rapid flow, and I'm thinking, why? It says in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, talking about the Antichrist, it says, and he that will let until he be taken out of the way. Should we go over there a second? Let me show it to you in print. Hold this spot. Well, it's only a chapter back, so you're okay. Or a book back. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. That's the rapture. Our gathering together unto Him. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. He says, don't let anybody tell you the day's at hand, or, you know, the second coming's about here. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. He's saying, now, the rapture is going to take place before the Antichrist is revealed. Are you following me? At least who we really know who he is. But the second coming of Christ won't take place until the Antichrist has been, he's risen to his position and taken over much of the world. He says, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showeth himself that he is God. The Antichrist is going to claim to be God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Talking about the Antichrist, and he goes on describing him. He says, he that will let until he be taken out of the way. What that is saying is, the Antichrist cannot reveal himself until the church is taken out of the way. The church is withholding or restraining the manifestation of the Antichrist until it's raptured out of the way. Then there'll be no restraining force left on the earth to hold him back, and he's going to come claiming he's God. But I want to take that and apply it in a little bit different fashion. He that is restraining terrorism, he that is restraining radical Islamic forces, he that's restraining Satan from moving in rapid form across the world, will restrain him until he voluntarily takes himself out of the way. You probably got lost in what I was just saying. America has been restraining the flow of radical Islam in the world. We've been restraining terrorist forces in the world. We're the only ones, for the most part, that's been rising up and saying, no, you're not going to do these things. Until we say, hey, we're on your side now. Here's your five top leaders. Let's make a deal. We're getting out of the way, and now we're letting. Without a move of God, this nation is finished. Everybody's looking to November to turn things around. Well, I was looking to November 2 years ago to turn things around. I was looking at 2 years before that to turn things around. I was looking at Supreme Court decisions to turn things around. I've been looking at, you know, Senate meetings to turn things around. And it's not turned a thing around. Things are getting worse. It's not going to be done by a political move. It's going to take interceding saints to shut down the spread of wickedness in the earth. I pray for our leaders. But I pray truth be revealed. I pray for righteousness to prevail. And I'm telling you, America is asleep. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're saying peace and safety. Oh yes, we're out of Iraq, we're out of Afghanistan. Oh yes, you know, the economy, the stock market's doing great. We're deceived. We're asleep. And we're positioned for the greatest collapse of a nation the world has ever known. Have you got it? Verse 6, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. We're drunk as a nation. We're in a drunken stupor because we compromised truth and we've given way to deceiving spirits. I'm so glad I don't drink anymore. It's been over 30 years since I've been drunk. Well, almost 30 years. That's right, I got saved in July. Next month, it'll be 30 years we've been saved. And if I had to add up all the stupid things I've done, 97% were because I was drinking. I mean, I did, you guys don't know how I was. I was stupid when I got drunk. When I was drunk, I did foolish things. Things that I could be in prison for, things I could have killed people doing, just stupid drunk. When you're drunk, you lose your sense of boundaries. You have a false sense of safety and security. I remember doing 100 mile an hour plus on a motorcycle. Throttle locked down, hands, no hands on the wheel, passing beers back and forth and going down the interstate. Took somebody else as dumb as I was to be passing the beer. Wow! I've got pictures, at least one, maybe more than one home, of me taking pictures with my camera 100 mile an hour plus. Whoa! All this is a blur. Just a blur. Drunk! Drunk. Taking off of the group, one wheel. Wonk. Well, I probably couldn't have done it sober, but drunk, who cares? If it goes over, it goes over, you know. You lose your ability to properly create the right safety boundaries around your life when you're drunk and you overstep and get in trouble. And this nation is drunk into thinking that they can't go down. They're drunk into thinking we're America and it's always going to work out. They're drunk thinking we can do stupid stuff and it's going to work out okay. You cannot violate the laws of the kingdom of heaven and get blessed results. And I'm concerned we have stepped over. I'm concerned there's no return without the glory of God manifesting on the church. So I want you to know that your praying, your pressing in, your being about the Father's business is not just so you can say when you get to heaven, I tried God. We are America's last hope for a turnaround. Patty and I went to see a movie last week, Edge of Tomorrow. Anybody seen Edge of Tomorrow? It's Groundhog Day with aliens. But it's like so many movies you see where, what was the other movie we went to see this week? Godzilla. Yeah. And we saw Godzilla. And all these movies you see, it comes down to one man is all that stands between the world being destroyed and restoration. It was like that in Edge of Tomorrow. Only one man had the ability to save the world. Amen. I won't tell you how it ended. Godzilla, one man had the ability to shut down, you know, the evil creatures. I won't tell you any more of that one. You watch the Avengers, only Iron Man had the ability to stop the aliens sending the missile up through the hole. And I'm telling you, only those about the Father's business in these last days have the ability to stop the destruction that's going to be released on the world now. The word intercessor means to stand in the gap, to stand in the breach where there's an opening. Amen? Where you see an opening for him, you come and you stand in the gap to keep the enemy from penetrating your boundaries, penetrating your hedge. A drunkenness doesn't care if the boundaries are opened up. You know, a drunk, whatever, hey, whatever, hey, we're all friends. The intercessor is sober and serious about their assignment and must recognize you may be all that stands between revival, restoration, and destruction. These movies really do have a practical application. I remember when Spider-Man 2 came out. It was a time Patty was really struggling with all the stuff I was doing for the church. Because I was here and there and this town, that town, all over the place. Starting this church and everything else. The one before, yeah. The one with Tobey Maguire. Amen. Like he's a Spider-Man. My goodness. I never bought that one. Amen. It's like having Pee Wee Herman play Iron Man. Anyway. In the movie, he's torn between his girlfriend and his ability to save lives. Save the city. And at the end of the movie, they came to the realization he can do both. He can have a girlfriend and save the city. And that movie touched Patty in a way. I remember when it happened. She says, I realize that there's a calling on your life that I got to release you into, and there'll be room for me too. Amen. Lots of room for her too. Well, in the same way, there's a calling on your life. For some it's intercession, for some it's ministry, for some it's in the business world, but there's a calling in your life that you are assigned of God to fill a position to stop wickedness from manifesting in these end times. And it's vital we be sober, we watch, and we take it seriously. This is not game playing anymore. This is the most serious moment in this country's history since 1860, since the Civil War. The Civil War was make or break whether or not this nation would stay together. Amen? And here we are again. It's make or break whether this nation survives. Now, I know a lot of people, people in this ministry, are saying America can't fall because, you know, 80% of all world missions comes out of America. You know, God birthed America because of people's love for Him. That He birthed Israel because of His love for the people, but He birthed America because of people's love for Him. And I think it's wonderful. But understand that the times of Jeremiah, where Judah had sinned so badly, God said, it doesn't matter, there's no use interceding anymore. This nation's going down. And Jeremiah got blessed in it. The people that submitted to the will of God got blessed, it says. But the people that fought the will of God and said, Noah, Judah will never fall, they were destroyed. God says, I should have got the scripture ahead of time. Some of you maybe can look up the reference. But I believe He says, though Moses, Noah, and Elijah be in the land, I still won't save it. They've transgressed that far. And I believe America's at that point. But I do believe God has a glorious bride that's going to rise up and restore things. The thing is, we cannot fall for this slumber party that's being perpetrated right now and think just because we're America, it's going to be okay. Have you looked at the filth on TV anymore? On the movies? I was so disappointed. I went to see the movie X-Men. I was always a comic book nerd. So when they started doing the superhero comics, I was so excited, you know, for all the different comic book heroes that we could do. It was really good graphics now. We went to see this new X-Men movie. And within a few minutes of the start of the movie, they show a full nude view of Hugh Jackman from behind. Everything. And I'm going, it just blew the movie for me. Because people bring their kids to this. There was a time that would have been X-rated. Now it's PG-13. Which means parental guidance if you're under 13. So people are bringing their 7-year-old little girls to the movies and they're seeing nude men on the screen. Oh, I think, what is going on here? And then when I tell people about it, I say, I can't believe they're going, what's the big deal about that? That's nothing anymore. It's still something. It now ranks as the number 2 most disappointing movie I've probably seen. The first one was Titanic. Oh, that was such a great movie. No, they put nudity in it and didn't tell anybody. I go to this movie, everybody's talking about Titanic. You know, it's when it first came out. Was it 99 or whatever? And we're watching, I'm the pastor, and people are saying, hi, Pastor Jack, in the movies, hi. And all of a sudden, there's a new girl. I'm going, oh my God. Yet we just act like it's nothing anymore. I remember as a kid, one of the worst slams that you can make against a guy was to call him homosexual. Now, I'm not trying to perpetrate, you know, bullying homosexuals or making fun of people or whatever, but then it was considered it wasn't normal. Now, the majority of America, of Americans, because we rammed it through our school kids so many years, the majority of Americans now think it's just an alternate lifestyle and it's normal. It's still not. He that will letteth will let. We're not withholding anything anymore. In fact, we've become the gateway. Much of it's coming into the world. Instead of America becoming a restraining force to wickedness, we become the gateway. And we now have the first president in the history of this nation to authenticate legalize and promote homosexuality. Oh, promote's the right word. And the church continues to sleep. Look at verse 9 again. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, say me, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, regardless of collapses that take place, the righteous are going to be protected. Let me restate that. The righteous that are in faith will be protected. You're going to have to be standing on a promise. Because collapse is going to be taking place all around you. You're going to have to be able to say, it will not come nigh my dwelling place. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. We're going to stand on the word. It says in Corinthians, I heard Don Pinckney ministering this today. He said, it says in the word that all the promises of God are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. All the promises of God are in Him, yes, and amen. How many believe that? That God stands behind His promises. But He made this point, and I thought, that's good. I'll share that myself. The promises of God do not become yes. Do you guys know what amen means? So be it. We are the Soviet Union. That was mine, okay. We're a covenant church. We're the Soviet Union. We live on the promises of God, right? And we'll stand against the Soviet Union. The promises of God, understand amen means so be it. The promises of God do not become yea until we amen it. Mary said, be it unto me, so be it unto me, according to thy word. Until we say, I receive the promise, yea, let it be, it's not yes with God. Because the promises of God don't take place in somebody's life until we amen it. Until we say, I receive this, I put it in operation. The promise of God is that all would be healed. All would be saved. But until somebody says amen to salvation, nobody's getting saved. Until somebody says yay or amen to healing, nobody's getting healed. And it's going to be the Soviet Union that rises up in the end times that will survive the collapses around them. And much of the rest of the church, I believe, is going under with it. Amen. Of course, I believe it's going to cause the glory to rise on the revivalist church, and I believe sons and daughters shall come from far, far away denominations, far away from the revelation you have, but they're going to come and realize it's working for them, it's collapsing around me, I'm going to the Soviet Union myself. Sign me up. You know, I shared about Pastor Philip being at Pastor Tim's church this past weekend, and all the, you know, miracles were taking place, and people touched by the power of God, filled with the Spirit, you know, pinned to the floor, visitations of Jesus. And this is a church not used to that. Pastor Tim knows faith, but the church doesn't yet. They're new. New church. And I'm guessing a whole lot of eyes got opened this past weekend to decide maybe we ought to shift how we're operating to move more towards where we're seeing this miracle power show up. We're going to become the lights that people are going to be drawn to. Now, a lot of times we think, well, I'm the light, so people are going to be drawn to my bright smile. Just give me some more whitening, you know, tooth whitening, and I'll shine. You know, and people will be drawn to my smile. They'll be drawn to my nice disposition. Well, praise God, that could happen. But they're going to be drawn primarily in these end times to the blessing on your life that's not on theirs. saved or unsaved. My guess is, as usual, it'll mostly be the unsaved be drawn to you. While the denominational Christians are saying, well, we still don't believe that. Amen. My denomination born, my denomination bred, and when I die, I'll be my denomination dead. You may have heard that one before. Plug in whatever denomination. Has anybody ever heard that before? Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm not changing what I believe. Basically, that's what they're saying. But I've heard it from many different denominations. It's what we believe. It's what we believe. It's what our grandfathers believed. And no matter what you say, we're not going to that tongue-talking, church. They're so fixed on what you do different, they miss the blessing of God on your life. But the heathen will see it. Amen. I want to say something. I try to be very careful about prophesying times. Because it seems like every time somebody prophesies a time, then after so many years, well, where was that one? And you prophesy, this is the year of this or the year of that. And I really try to steer clay away from this is the year something certain is going to happen. But I'm going to make a statement that's somewhat along those lines. I believe as of this week, even today, the floodgates have opened for wickedness to sweep the world. I was watching today, and I was like, it was like the borders, floodgates are opened. Terrorism in the Middle East, floodgates are opened. Crime in our leadership, deception, floodgates are open. With no restriction, with no resistance whatsoever. And now it's anything goes. And I'm going to make a prediction. This is not a prophecy, it's a prediction. Are you following me just based on what I see? I believe you're going to see rapid world events unravel in the following weeks. Months, if not weeks. Gas prices are about to skyrocket. Let me throw this one out as well. Gas per barrel skyrocketed today. So get ready to see it at the pumps. We have shut down coal-fired electrical plants in the nation by overwhelming them with ridiculous environmental protection agency statutes. We've blocked, not we, certain leaders have blocked the Keystone pipeline, which would ship us oil from this continent down there that doesn't have to come from the Middle East, plus provide thousands and thousands of jobs, lower gas prices. And we pulled away from Israel, even backing Israel's enemies, speaking hollow threats to Israel's enemies that have threatened their destruction. So that we're pulling away from every possible area as a nation from the blessing of God. We're poised right now. We've talked about this in the past, that these things could happen. I believe we're about to see them happen. We're poised now for Israel to strike Iran, their nuclear plants. I don't know if you're aware of it. We just, this past week, if I understand right, gave Iran carte blanche, open doors to produce all the nuclear plants and weaponry they want to. Is that right? We pulled all restrictions and restraints off Iran to produce all the nuclear material they want to, including potentially build bombs. So now because America has no longer restraining that, Israel is left on their own to have to stop it, because if Iran gets a nuclear bomb, Israel is toast. Without a move of God. Are you following me? So we're potentially going to see an attack against Iran's nuclear plants, which is going to throw the whole Middle East in chaos. We could see oil deliveries as nations totally, virtually shut down with no production capacity ourselves, you know, to meet the needs. And the economy grind to a halt. Again, this is a prediction, not a prophecy. Don't come to me and say 3 months, say, Pastor Jack, it didn't happen. I'm not prophesying, I'm predicting. Don't hold me to predictions. I told you guys a couple years ago, stockpile some food. You might replenish some of it right now. Because if the trucks don't roll, the food don't get to Kroger. And Big Lots will probably run out first anyway. Well, God will provide. He gives you some wisdom to make preparations. And I'm telling you, in my heart, I'm just seeing all these pieces fall into place, because America's taken their hand of restriction off the moves of darkness and said, by these 5 terrorists being released, we're out of the game. Do what you want to do. See, you're being told it was all about freeing this last American POW. He wasn't a POW. He was a deserter. It was never about getting that guy free. That was the explanation. That was the excuse to release the top 5 terrorists back into the world. The top 5 we had in captivity. And the plan is to totally empty that prison of all the terrorists we have, you know, housed there. Shut it down. Take our hands off the Middle East and say, America's good guys, don't mess with us anymore. And trust them, you know, to treat us as good guys. It's ridiculous. And yet we leave our civilians in Benghazi unprotected. I love the post that was made in Facebook last week, that instead of trading one deserter for 5 terrorist leaders, let's trade half of our Congress for the one Marine down in Mexico because he accidentally carried guns over the border. I feel like Earl Pitts tonight. Wake up, America! Bobby Jean came preaching on the fire and intercession. And I believe, if I could explain it, and I was looking at that world map and they were showing, it's not some little terrorist cell moving here and there. It's Al-Qaeda has taken over countries right now. Whole countries. And it looked like a map on fire with their spread. And I don't know if I have time to go into this story or not, if evil fit in properly. But one of the ways you fight a fire is with fire. If a fire's coming your way, what you want to do is you want to light another fire, smaller fire, in the path and let it burn toward the other fire, because as it's pulling in air and oxygen to burn the other big fire, it'll draw that fire towards it if you ride at the right time, and it'll cause that fire to burn toward the other fire, and the two will burn each other out. So you light a backfire to move towards that one fire. And I believe as the world's about to burn up in total wicked stupidity, God's got a group of people He's releasing fire into He's going to cause a backfire through that will be drawn to the battle to shut some stuff down. When I was 17, we had just moved from Huntsville, Alabama to Bunker Hill, Tennessee on the farm. That's where I lived on the farm. At least in Tennessee, I lived on the farm there. And we had 120 acres. When we moved there, nobody lived there for a few years. And nobody had done anything to take care of the property for many years. The whole property was nothing but woods, sage grass. Anybody know what sage grass is? It's this grass grows about this tall, it's brown. Turns brown right away and extremely flammable. And blackberries. We had a farm of nothing but blackberry brambles. Did you guys ever work in blackberries? I hate blackberry vines. Because if they ever grab you and you move, it whips the whole thing into you. And then you try to slowly pull it off. Finally, I ain't got time for this. You just jerk and you have your whole arm embedded with thorns or whatever. And I'd been swimming. Some friends of mine near my house, probably 4 miles away, where they built the interstate. Bunker Hill was about a mile off of I-65. But there was no exit where I lived. Amen. We just had an overpass. And but they, when they built the interstate, they dug all these rock quarries along the path and used the rock, and they put rock crushers in there and make gravel, and they build the interstates with these. So if you could see behind the scenes along the interstates, wherever in the nation they are, there's always rock quarries all along it. And they built one of these rock quarries about 4 miles from my house. I'm guessing, hard to tell from the size of water, somewhere probably 25 acres. Probably 10 to 25 acres. It was a good-sized rock quarry. And overnight it filled up with water when they were doing this. And crystal clear water, full of huge fish. When I moved there, nobody would swim in it because they were told it was clear full of snakes and it was bottomless and all this stuff. Well, I'd raise up scuba diving. I still said, go check it out. So I took my mask and fins, snorkel, found it was about 30 feet deep at the deepest, and they said there's a giant uke. You guys know what a uke is? Well, these giant earth-moving trucks. The tires are bigger than a person. They said there's a uke. There's a uke down in the bottom. I found the uke. It was an upside-down pickup truck. So I explored the whole thing. It was full of huge fish. And when I explored it, nobody swam there. When I explored it and they found that it wasn't bottomless and there were no snakes, the place filled up in a matter of weeks with kids from all around the county. And it was like that for decades. It was the number one swimming place in the county. But we had been there swimming. We just moved there, and I'd been there swimming. And we're coming home, and I'm dressed in cut-off blue jeans. That was our swimming trunks when I was a kid. You ain't paying no money for no swimming trunks. Cut-off in blue jeans. Got holes in them anyway, you know. That's the way we thought. And I was no socks, no shirt. Right. And low top Converse tennis shoes, no socks. Nobody wore high tops back then. It was always low tops. And that was about the only kind of tennis shoes you could have. This would have been in 1970, 71. And we're coming down our gravel road that we lived on toward our house, and I saw smoke back in the back of our property. And so we hit up the driveway, and I don't remember if my parents had already seen it, just seen it. I ran in and hollered fire, but we recognized our farm was on fire. Sagebrush farm on fire. And the fire was coming toward the house. And at the time, it was further back the hollow. And so everybody in the house, I mean my mom, my dad, my brothers, me, my grandmother was living with us at the time. We grabbed our toad sacks, our burlap bags. We run and dip them down in the creek in the hollow. Came like this where the fire was coming through and there's a creek and, you know, small creek in the bottom. We take her and dip her bag and get it wet and we go put out fire. And the fire was moving so quick. Here my grandmother had the hose. We had a hose. We had a spring-fed water supply from a hill 500 foot up side of the hill across the road. The pipe was 50 years old. The stream of the hose was like this. No pressure. And there's grandma with her hose like she's going to put this fire out. And we're up there putting out this fire, and this thing is coming on every front. So it wasn't we had a row of people putting out a fire. We had mom, one brother up one part of the hollow, my dad up another part, my mom over here. I'm taking this whole hillside over here. And we're trying to keep the fire from the house, because everything directs up at hollow straight to the house. And we end up, it's moving. I can remember that fire going through the sagebrush, and it would go through the sagebrush faster than you could walk. It's coming across like the, than a, you know, regular walk. And I can remember having to head off the fire. Let me say this. First of all, we fought the fire for 6 hours. 6 hours. At full speed. And I'm going somewhere with this whole story, so y'all bear with me. I remember that it was so important to head off this fire. Here I am with no shirt, cut off short jeans, no socks, low top Converse, and I'm having to stop fire and the entire farm's blackberries. It's sagebrush, but everything's grown up in blackberries. This, and I'm talking about not a little piece here, a little piece. The whole area is solid blackberries. You can't see the end of it. And I got to head off fire through it. And I had to shut down concern over little thorns and run through blackberry brambles as fast as I could to head off fire for 6 hours. They would grab and just shred. Just going to shred. Rip. And you pulling all the thorns off of it. Skin wasn't coming off, but the thorns were coming off. And we fought that farm, and we've just about got it stopped. It's probably about 11 o'clock at night. It becomes aware that, I mean, that's how long we fought it, that we're going to save the farm. It's not going to get to us. We've shut it all down. We've bottled it up. And then the fire patrol appears. The fire rangers. The professionals come out. And they start backfiring the thing. Now you show up. The point is, this thing had gone way beyond our farm. It was started on a farm behind us somewhere, and it had spread. It probably burned, 500 or 600 acres or so. I don't know how many. Many farms had been burnt in it. But we stopped it from getting to our major stuff. And I went home. We are covered with soot. I'm covered head to foot with smoke and soot. And went home and washed off, and I'm solid, shredded arms and legs and stomach and everything. We picked thorns out of our skin for days, if not weeks. Just with a knife and pick them out. And I would just shred, scratch. All face, everything. Shredded. I knew it was hurting, but I didn't know it had done any damage. I'm just going. The point is, because of the fire that was threatening us, we set aside all personal concern for our own safety, what is requiring of us, what time it was, how long we've been doing it, were we on the clock. It was all about winning. And we won. And you think, well, that wasn't worth it. I wouldn't do it. We thought it was worth it. And when it was done, I remember looking at all the scratches saying, well, ain't nothing. We saved the farm. Do it again if we had to. The point I'm getting at is when you're fighting a major fire, there's got to be a fire rise up in you that says, I'm going to stop this thing. It's worth my investment. Thorns in the Bible represent the curse. God told Adam, he says, when he brought the curse on the earth, he says, now thorns and thistles is going to bring forth. The parable of the sower, the thorns represent the cares of this world and the lust of other things and deceitfulness of riches. Right? And you got to be willing to blast through all curse opposition, all resistance of the wicked one, and say, I'm going to stand in the gap. Because that's what we did with that fire. We were standing in the gap. We would step back and look where the fire was coming. And I mean, it's a whole ridge, both sides. And where's it coming? And my dad would say, well, usually we just see it and go. Or my dad might say, Keith or Jack, get up there and stop it up there. Psh, here we go through the thistles, through the thorns. Shh, flying up the hill to shut down that area where there was a breach, where the fire was breaking through. And I'm convinced if a fire doesn't come on the intercessors in these end times, there are so many breaches that are being made right now. If we looked at all of the seven mind-molding mountains, everyone has been breached with wickedness. The education system has been breached. The financial system has been breached. We've got more debt now than our children could ever think of paying off. And we keep, do you understand this flood of immigrants coming in with no jobs? Little kids, no medical. Now we have, this health care plan. Do you understand that money's got to come from somewhere to fund all theirs? It's just buying more votes. That's more debt. When we started the health care debacle, they said it's going to cost $2 trillion or something like that. They've come out in the past week or two and says, the new head is saying, actually, it's beyond our ability to calculate now what it's going to cost. We made some miscomputations. It's incalculable. And now we've opened up this new flood financially, this whole millions of people coming to the nation. Who's going to pay for that? Because illegal aliens don't pay taxes, but they get benefits. Pastor Teresa was telling me about a member of her church who was an alcoholic. He ended up being so bad they had to put him in the hospital for 5 days to dry out. The bill was $15,000, I think. And because he was an alien, they waived the whole thing. In other words, waived it. Social Security paid for it. Because he was an alien. We have now positioned this nation for total financial collapse. The financial systems have been breached. The government system has not just been breached, they're the breachers. The entertainment system. Patty likes to read biographies. And she was reading a biography a while back on Jimmy Stewart. Hard not to like Jimmy Stewart, right? It's a Wonderful Life. And in his biography, he starts talking about what the heads of the studios required their actors to do back in the 30s, sexually, to be able to stay on contract. They had houses of prostitution on the edge of the studios they expected the actors to go to demonstrate they were willing to compromise their morality to stay on contract. Satan was controlling that industry back in the 30s. So it's no wonder you turn on a kid's superhero movie now and some guy's naked. And of course, the girl in the movie might as well have been naked, because he's painted some paint on her and called it clothes. Finance, education, entertainment, political, the family's been breached. Now homosexual marriage has been approved. I don't even know if that was approved in Sodom and Gomorrah. The church has been breached. Amen. Now we've got, they're calling it the Grace Revolution. I call it the Grace Regurgitation. Amen. And what's the seventh mountain? Arts and entertainment. Media. The media, they're the breachers. You'd think the media would report these are things that are happening in the nation that are causing us to go under, but they're covering the whole thing up. Finally, you get one guy after telling the truth, you get Glenn Beck going to the root of things, and they fire him. Cover him up. Every area of influence, of mind-molding influence in this nation, has been breached. And only the church of the end times has the ability to fill these gaps and make up the hedge. And it's time for the church to get sober and be about the Father's work. Now I'm out of time, but I'm not stopping. See, y'all bear with me a minute. I was pondering this during praise and worship. How do you get to the forefront of what God's doing? How do you get to the leading edge of God's flow at this time? You know how I believe it is? You always choose to step forward towards God. God, what do I need to do? Pray? Bless God, I'm going to pray. Need to read? I'm going to read. Need to go to church? I'm going. You just keep stepping towards God's purpose. And you refuse to take side steps and say, well, I just don't feel like going to church this week, or I don't feel like reading the Word, you know, these days. I don't feel like, you know, whatever. Going to intercession, I don't feel like all that. And you say, it doesn't matter how I feel. How I feel is irrelevant. Is there a breach in the hedge? Is there a need? I like what David said when Goliath was challenging Israel. Remember that? David and Goliath? And first he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? But then he said this, is there not a cause? You want to go ahead with God, you've got to be willing to say, is there not a cause? Is what I'm doing not have a purpose and an intention? Is there not an end goal to this thing? Or am I just kind of spinning my wheels going through the motions? Pastor Jack, you seem kind of hyped up tonight. I am. I was watching today collapse take place all around. And it's time the church says, we're not playing games anymore. It's not how I feel. It's what is God telling me to do right now? Doesn't matter if I've had enough sleep. Doesn't matter if I've had enough to eat. I'm going toward God. One of my favorite movies. I put it in the top three favorite war movies I've ever seen. Was We Were Soldiers. Anybody seen We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson? You need to watch that movie. Historically accurate movie. About America's early involvement in the Vietnam War. And in that movie, Mel Gibson is a captain. He's landed all of his troops in this LZ, this landing zone, and they've got all these choppers coming in. They're going to, you know, position themselves for a battle. Don't realize it's a big ambush. It's a setup. And the North Vietnamese want to create a massacre of American troops at the outset of the war to get America to withdraw from the war. And here we've got a matter of a few hundred Americans landing, and they've got thousands and thousands of North Vietnamese troops armed and ready to attack. So here the Americans set up. They're in this little area. Not that tiny, but this area. Top this hill. And here comes the attack. And Mel Gibson plays it perfectly. Very calm. I mean, people are dropping all around him. He's going, guard that flank over there. Don't let them go. You guys go take that, you know, that ravine over there. They're going to come there that way next. And they're going to come over there next. You guys go guard that. And all he's doing is plugging breaches the entire movie. Plug that area. If they overrun us, we're in trouble. You know what eventually happened? I'll tell you if you even haven't seen the movie. They overrun them. There were so many enemy troops, they were breached and enemy was in amongst them. When enemies amongst you, you can't just hold a line and kill everything in front of you. Now you're firing amongst yourself. And they had to holler broken arrow or whatever the code was. And here come the military planes dropping napalm on their own troops to stop the influx of enemy troops, to shut it down. And so there were casualties, self-inflicted casualties, because they were breached. We have been breached. And it's time we quit worrying about being nice or politically correct and start shutting down wickedness. I love this nation. I don't love all their history. I don't love all the mistakes they've made. But I love this nation. I believe God birthed this nation for a purpose. And I refuse to see it go down without a fight. Now, I've tried to fight politically. 25 years ago. No, 91, I quit. September of 1991, I was on the Fayette County Republican Executive Committee. We set the platform for the county and really the state for the entire political platform for the year. And I was going to the dinners with Mitch McConnell and the others. I had Larry Forgy, and it was when Larry Forgy and Larry Hopkins were running against each other, calling me personally for my support. So I was moving up at a higher level politically. And in September 1991, God told me to start a Bible study in my house, to do it Monday nights, and how to go about it. And it was God just speaking to me. I says, God, I've got the political meetings that night. He says, pull out of all of it. So I went that week and turned in my resignation. Pulled out of politics. I had worked for 4 years trying to shut down pornography in Lexington. I think sometimes all we did was advertise where it was, because the news would come and film us, and everybody was going like, I didn't know there was a pornography shop there. Because we'd be picketing and, you know, all this other stuff. I refused to pull out of political involvement. But I've absolutely lost faith in a political solution. I don't believe God intends for there to be a political solution. I believe it. Don't, please go vote. Vote for the candidate that represents the kingdom of God the best. Are you following me? Please vote. But I'm convinced the change, the deliverance, the restoration is coming through prayer, not through politics. And revival will change the nation. I was last week with Bobby Jean. We were in Tuesday night in Frankfurt, and we started talking about, I believe it was Charles Finney. And Charles Finney would go to a city and pray, start to minister, and the power of God would fall, and entire cities would get saved. And all the bars would shut down, not because he picketed them, but because nobody wanted to go, because they all got saved. I believe he's a forerunner how God wants to bring change to this nation now. By the glory. Well, listen, I'm going to shut down for tonight. Is everybody okay with me? Y'all still love me? Stay at peace. Try to walk in love towards all men. Are you following me? But it's time we became spokesmen for truth versus trying to have everybody like us. Father, bless your people. I speak everybody in this church healed, prosperous, blessed, and have clarity. Their eyes are wide open to truth and refuse to compromise what you're instructing them to do. I thank you for a fire resting on each one, that they rise up and stand in the gaps that you've shown to them, and that through your revival of church, all of us coming together as a Soviet Union, you bring forth your glory. I thank you. I give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing.